anyway, you're here. We're here to talk about sunrise.
I've got some songs as well.
Let me see.
If you want, don't look at the back, because that's why I wrote them down. I have four songs on there.
Ooh, okay.
If you want to play them. But yes, the VOC Silent Film Harmonic returns to the
Registry
glorious Theater registry
for another glorious season.
Another glorious season. Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans, is this Friday at 8 o'clock. Advance tickets are $15. You can buy them online, Center in the Square. You can buy them ahead. You can buy them at the door for $15 or the ultimate deal, $10 plus food bank donation.
Which I think is really cool.
Go with the closet. I think the Thanksgiving food drive is starting or about to start, and so we can...
Yeah, it's October 2nd. We can try
to get that off. So $10 with the food bank donation, and then, of course, as always, for all the beloved high school students out there, $5 IGO tickets. So...
Which is great. I think that is it's very cool. Do you want to play? Should we play a track off this CD?
Just play the first song.
Play the first song?
Yeah.
Okay, and then we'll gather our thoughts and come back and talk a little bit more about
stuff.
Sunrise.
Stuff and things.
Okay, well, here's track one. I don't even know what it is, but this
is a surprise.
Okay, here's track one.
It's a nice surprise.
Of the Ted Harms playlist on Cool FM. Thank you. That's from my special guest Ted Harms' playlist CD, especially for Coral FM.
Hello, yes.
What was that?
That was a cover. That was originally a John Hiatt song, written, performed by John Hiatt. Very many nice YouTube videos and all that of him. But that was a version done by the Bill Frisell Trio.
Oh,
from,
I like him.
Mid-90s. I even forget the CD that it's on. Sorry, it's on.
480? Nope.
It's on This Land. This Land CD, where he did like Charles Ives and Madonna and Bob Dylan.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And all that. And yeah, anyway, so that was just
I like him. He's
the Bill Frisell Trio with the great Kermit Driscoll on bass and Joey Barron on drums.
Oh, who was that guy? It was a guy I interviewed that used to be on Factory Records. It's kind of like Bill Frisell, but I can't remember. He came to Toronto to play live, and I can't remember the name of the Drudy Column.
Okay.
Maybe the guy from Drudy Column and Harold Budd and Bill Frisell and Fred Frith and all those boys. I like it. I do like it.
So, but I thought that kind of is that song was running through my head while I was. I mean, we're not going to do that song musically on Friday, but just as far as just that theme of Have a Little Faith in Me was just running through my head as I was thinking about Sunrise. Because I think the movie just to very briefly sum up the movie.
Yes, let's do a synopsis here.
Well, first of all, I mean, Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans is the official title of it, and it's basically has three characters in it, none of whom have particular names. They're not Betty or Loretta or George or anything, but it's you have the man,
woman.
You have the man, the wife, and the woman from the city.
Oh yeah, right.
And
woman from the city. That's
right. And you've got the man, the wife, who are farmers and all that.
And
at some point, the woman from the city arrived and has been, I guess, wooing the man and she's been, I guess, probably has seduced him, though that's never seen in the movie. But
silently seduced him.
But she tries to draw him to the city and says, it's crazy, it's sexy, it's nonstop dancing and all that. And and he's feeling, I guess, a little unhappy with the farm. So
the
plot was to sell the farm. But then, what to do about his wife? And so, needless to say, the unsuspecting wife goes on a boat ride with the husband, and the husband has a change of heart, but not before he makes his intentions clear to his wife. Unfortunately, and the rest of the movie is him. And I mean, I know this sounds kind of a little odd, but I mean, he basically woos her back.
His wife?
Yes, she runs away.
Hopeful.
And they actually go into the city, and they spend a day. And he's very apologetic, and he's very remorseful, and all that. And she's not at the beginning, not sure what to do with it, and things happen, and then eventually, they actually do make up. I know that sounds pretty dreadful, honey, I'm sorry I tried to kill you, kind of thing. But
love will forgive anything.
Love will forgive, and I think, as my mind was turning, that she had faith in him, even though he did try to kill her, but he then regained his faith in her and in himself because.
What year is this?
This movie came out
later,
in 1927.
Yeah.
This movie was actually released in that cusp of between Pure Silent and Talkies. This movie was actually released with not with actors' voices, but with sound effects and a score.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And when you watch the movie and you think about it afterwards, you realize there's only about, I haven't counted, but I mean, there's probably only about a dozen or so title cards throughout the whole movie, as far as,
So it's mostly...
This is actually a really silent silent movie. This isn't like
a, really,
it isn't like a comedy where they have to explain the jokes and they've, you know, they put up the words and all that, you know, every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is all acting.
Mm-hmm.
And it won the very first Oscars were held in 1929.
Got nominated or it won?
It won for Best Actress for Janet Gaynor.
Janet Gaynor, I was going to say, wow.
It won Best Cinematography. This movie is absolutely lavish,
mm-hmm.
Set wise. They did, this is not just, you know, on the back lot, you know, somewhere, but I mean, this is expansive sets. They built all these sets. They built the city and all that. They sunk a lot of money into it. Unfortunately, the movie didn't do all that well financially when it was released, but it won a Best Oscar.
It's Murnau, so you would think it...
Well, and this was his first Hollywood movie. I mean, he had done...
Drumroll, Nosferatu.
Nosferatu, yeah. And Faust, and Der Letzte Mann, and all that. And so his first Hollywood movie, this was you know, the big thing, and it came out, and they sunk a lot of money into him, and then the movie tanked financially. And then the next... He only did three more movies after this, and apparently the studios were riding his tail the whole time as far as saying, watch your spending, or we're not going to let you spend that. You know, you can't, you don't have that kind of budget. We're going to give you half, you know, of and all that. So, but then it also won an Oscar. They gave out a Best Picture Oscar to Wings, which was basically like the Top Gun of 1929.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But then Sunrise won the Oscar for unique artistic and present for unique,
direction,
unique presentation and artistic statement, something like that.
Okay,
almost kind of like them acknowledging, you know, Wings is the popular movie, that's the rah rah movie and all that, but this is the actual kind of art movie.
Mm-hmm.
They never gave out that Oscar again. I guess at some point the Academy of Motion Picture Arts, whatever it was, went back and they basically declared that Wings won the Best Picture Oscar for 1929, and kind of Sunrise kind of gets overlooked.
It's just
such a visually stunning movie.
And you're bringing it, and you're giving it new life by, you know, composing a score especially for this.
Yeah, right. well, we're not. Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, we don't really compose as in write everything
well,
out. You know
what I mean?
We kind of, yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? You're almost like you're like another character.
Yeah, we try.
When you follow the flow of the movie, and depending on
yes.
what the atmosphere of the movie is, mm-hmm. and what the atmosphere of the music is, which is very, like the last VOC silent film harmonic experience was incredible. The audience loved it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and for me, it's when someone comes up afterwards and they say, you know what, I actually even forgot you guys were playing.
Yeah, they do.
For me, that's just the biggest compliment. It means that we're there,
yeah.
and we're supporting. It means that we're not in the way. It means we're not doing anything stupid, you know. Look at us, because we're there to support the movie.
And you guys all take your solos beautifully when you perform. You know exactly, you know. Where to sort of bring it up and where to take it back, which
yeah,
is really
we,
neat.
We try to work in a couple points throughout the movie where everybody can kind of stretch out a little bit, and you know, maybe at times it's an outright solo where no or everyone else is you know, or just one person playing, or there's maybe a bit more of a feature piece. But yeah, you know, we do try to kind of spread the glory around. I'm playing with four really good guys.
Yeah,
four really
true.
Good musicians.
Who are they? We should mention.
Well,
the band.
We have Bradford Nowak,
yep.
on drums and trumpet. We have David Hunsberger on clarinet. He might bring his bass clarinet out for this one. I don't know if he will or not. Wade Whitaker on guitar, and Steve Lederman on percussion.
Is there a certain atmosphere of music? Is there a certain instruments? Is that why you're bringing out the bass clarinet? Because it's kind of required for this movie?
No, I mean,
atmosphere or not?
We kind of well, I might make suggestions.
Yeah,
and because you know Wade can play electric, he can play acoustic, he can play classical,
he's great.
And all that, and I can kind of say, you know what, I'm hearing more acoustic for this or whatever, but you know, ultimately, I mean, I think for some of these guys, it's you know, they've got the sounds in their head, and they're going to say, you know what, I think what's going to work best is if I do this or this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for me, it's like, well, am I going to play bass guitar? Am I going to play double bass? You know, if you've seen me on stage, you know that I can sometimes have more than a few effect pedals.
Yeah, very
with
true.
Me and all that.
Switch? Like, just sometimes if you, if it's coming to a part in a movie on a certain night, like if you've done the performance before, and if you're doing improvised music, do you sometimes switch going, you know what, I don't feel this, I feel this instead?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all, I mean, the way how we play, it's all, like I said, I mean, it's not scored, you know, per se. I mean, there'll be.
It's improvised.
There'll be, you know, where I'll say, you know what, here's, you know, 12 bars of music, and here's some chords, and it's here, and we're going to more or less play this for about the first 20 minutes.
Within that. Kind of messing around within that.
So and we just kind of leave it open. Yeah. And there's a great passage in, I think it's the first Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book, where Arthur Dent, where there's the girl that he's in love with, and she floats. She's about 6 inches off the ground, and he wants to know how he can do that, and she tries to show him and tries to tell him, and he can't do it, and he can't do it. And then I guess about a couple of chapters later, he's on some planet. I think it's the planet of lost luggage, and he's walking.
Right.
He's walking along.
Right. It's been a while since I've read that.
He's walking along, and he trips, and. And while he trips, he looks down and he sees, you know, a piece of carry-on luggage that he had lost 25 years previous. And he remembers that trip because this happened and that happened. And then there was this. And then he remembers what's in the bag. And then he realizes that at this point, he's now flying himself. Because he tripped and then he got distracted,
so he wasn't concentrating on it so much.
He wasn't concentrating so much, and that's I think kind of what happens when we play, is that you know, we kind of start and someone stumbles upon something, you hear something that somebody else plays, and you just think, oh, that's a neat little riff that they just played, or a neat little rhythm or something, and then not that you kind of. Not that people go into La La Land, but you know, people kind of let the subconscious take over.
Yeah, exactly.
They let the
visuals. They let you. They lead you.
Yeah, and again, we're all. I'd like to. I mean, not that we're all, you know, master musicians, but I think we all know our instruments well enough that we when we get distracted, that it's not just, you know, us falling. It's actually that we're kind of still doing something else, and we can't necessarily explain it. It's the I know not what kind of headspace
or where it came from. It just it's just there.
And everyone looks at the movie and everyone knows, okay, at the end of this scene, this is when we're going into the next part.
Yeah.
And this is going to be this, or it's going to, and so everybody has to kind of get back in formation at the end of that chapter before we move on to the next one, because for the next chapter, maybe everyone, you know, we've written it down and it's going to be just, you know, a duo playing, and you don't want everybody stomping on that duo, because this is the duo's time, you know, and all that. So
yeah, no, it all works so beautifully together. It really does.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Should we take a wee musical break and go back to this little playlist and play a couple songs and come back?
Yeah. Well, play the next song and we can talk about our next movie.
Okay.
After
Yay, that would be great. Okay. I'm here with Ted Harms of the VLC Silent Film Harmonic, and here is track 2 on my surprise my surprise CD. I don't know what it is. I have no clue. This will be interesting. Thank you. Awesome.
The year is 1968.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
That was Vanilla Fudge, You Keep Me Hanging On, which was a Supremes.
It was, yes.
The Supremes, yeah. Motown did it first.
Which I have, which came out around 19... I was living in Belfast back then, so that's probably like 1963, 64, or something like
that. People don't do that anymore, where, you know, they redo a song that was a hit like just, you know, like 4 or 5 years before.
Everyone just
wants to do their own songs.
They kind of just took that song and reinvented it.
Yeah.
It was a great version.
So, 1968.
Yes.
The other thing that happened in 1968 was Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
The original zombie movie.
George A. Romero.
Though in the movie, they never actually use the word zombie.
That's right. They don't.
They talk about undead ghouls.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
is how they get referred to.
Wow.
If I recall correctly, they actually were going to call the movie The Night of the Flesh Eaters or something like that.
Isn't there a movie called The Night of the Flesh Eaters?
Might have been. But that was their draft title, and I guess at some point they...
I think there's a movie called The Flesh Eaters. I'd have to go to the horror section of the video.
Yeah.
There's a huge horror section. So there's zombie movies abound.
Yes.
Everywhere.
And through a legal glitch, Night of the Living Dead is in public domain. Which means the VOC Silent Film Harmonic will be doing The Night of the Living Dead as a silent movie. We will be showing it. It'll have subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see people say, "Barbara, they're coming to get you," and stuff like that.
When are you doing this?
This is Saturday, February 1st.
Okay.
The registry is doing a film festival that weekend.
Yes.
Multicultural.
Yes.
Film group has something up.
Yep.
Andrew Hunt is, I believe, behind a film club, and they are showing something on. I think on the Sunday afternoon, and I can't remember.
The
I think
Multicultural it's, Film Club.
They're doing something. I think Friday night.
Okay.
Andrew is and his group is doing something. I think on the Sunday afternoon. Footlights. I think I can't remember.
That sounds right. Actually.
I can't remember what they're doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so So what I'm predicting is that in about 10 years, TIFF will be a thing of the past. The Toronto International Film Festival will be overshadowed by the Kitchener Film Festival.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, the Grand River Film Festival is happening. Has that happened already? Did it happen already?
I don't think it's happened yet.
Hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's happened yet. And they've got a really... I mean, they had... who did I have in here? Laura Archibald, who did the Greenwich Village movie that defined a generation. She was just back here, actually, the princess, maybe last week, week before.
Was she? Okay.
With another remount of the film. So it's doing really well. She's going across North American Film Festival. So,
anyways, the Registry Film Festival, Kitchener Film, I don't know what they're calling it, but soon Brad Pitt will be coming here.
I got to get Lawrence in here to talk about Registry Theater stuff. But that is good to know because that space is great because it has a 15 by 15 screen.
Yeah.
And nice it's big. A lovely place to see
it's
a
very
film.
Nice film.
It's very nice. And it's with the Gothic, you know, with a sort of black box feel to it. And it's a very old building with marble and everything.
Yes.
Very nice feel to it.
And maybe there'll be zombie surprises or something like that.
Oh, okay.
There as well.
Should people dress up?
Well, if people want to, we won't say no to anybody dressing up, and certainly people can get into it. I don't know. I know it'll be too cold for a zombie walk, but you know,
you never know. Look at it. It's October 2nd today, and look at it outside.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I'm sure somebody needs to do a winter zombie movie. All the zombie movies I've seen have all been, you know, it's sunny and warm all the time.
Well, zombies are like
how would zombies do in minus 15?
There's what is it? Cockneys versus Zombies. Is that the latest one?
Okay.
Yeah, there's a movie called Cockneys versus Zombies, and somebody came in and rented it and said this movie's really good. Now I don't know very much about it, but zombies can versus anybody now. You know.
Yeah, just as long as
go well with anything.
I've had this discussion with my niece, and the dividing line is that zombies can't run.
Well,
that has to be if they run. I mean they can lurch, they can shuffle. And all that, but if you're watching a movie and zombies are running in it, then you're not watching a zombie movie. I'm sorry.
They can't really run because they'll fall apart.
Well, and they're a little low on the motor function.
Yeah, a little bit. And all that, should be. You know, it's not very many brains and stuff. Should we try? I'll just if anybody's listening and they would like a ticket.
Oh, yes.
Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans at the Registry Theater this Friday. Call us.
It's, call in, please.
519-884-2567.
Not even a skill testing question. Just call.
Just give us a call, and we'd be happy to give you a pair of tickets. Yeah. Not a problem. So
okay.
The phone rings.
Do you want to play the next two? We have there's two songs. Two songs. The next two songs have to do with the last movie that we're doing.
Okay.
Do you want to play those?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. Back to the official Coral FM Ted Harms playlist on Coral FM.
Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. There's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Pacific to the broad Atlantic shore, she climbs Clary Mountain or hills and by the shore. Although she's tall and handsome and she's known quite well by all, she's a regular combination of the Wabash Cannonball. Oh, the eastern states are dandies, so the western people say, Chicago, Rock Island, St. Louis by the way. To the lakes of Minnesota where the rippling waters fall, no changes to be taken on the Wabash Cannonball. Oh, listen to the jingle, the rumor and the roar, as she glides along the woodland or hills and by the shore. She climbs the Flowery Mountain, hear the merry hobos squall, she glides along the woodland, the Wabash Cannonball. Daddy Cleeton, let his name forever be and long be remembered in the courts of Tennessee. For he is a good old rounder till a curtain round him fall. He'll be carried back to victory on the Wabash Cannonball. I have rode the icy limit, hid also the royal blue, across the eastern countries on Elkhorn number 2. I have rode those highball trains from coast to coast, that's all, but I have found no equal to the Wabash Cannonball. Oh, listen to the jingle, the rumor and the roar, as she glides along the woodland or hills and by the shore. She climbs a flowery mountain, hear the merry hobos squall, she glides along the woodland, the Wabash Cannonball.
Okay, Ted.
There we go. A little bit of Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Folsom Prison Blues.
Yep.
And a little bit of Carter Family, Wabash Cannonball.
Wabash Cannonball. Okay.
Now.
I'm out of my realm with this music.
Now, there was, both those songs had some common themes in them. Perhaps people don't know that that the Wabash Cannonball is a term for a locomotive.
Okay.
And in Folsom Prison Blues, Johnny's singing about moving about the lonesome whistle and you know.
I hear the train coming. Okay, so this movie.
The last movie is that we're doing March 27th.
The Great Train Robbery.
We're doing Buster Keaton's The General.
Oh my God!
A movie about a man and his train. And that takes
Buster
place takes yeah Buster Keaton takes place during the Civil War.
Yeah.
And there's this train engineer, Buster Keaton. He wants to enlist because mm-hmm. everyone else is, but they won't because he's an engineer and he's considered too valuable to be part of the war effort.
Yep.
And
nope,
all that. So anyways, he joins anyways. Figures him and his train, the general, that they can help somehow, and they get embroiled in a hijacking, incident involving the other side, and Buster saves the day.
Ha! Huh, okay.
In his own way. And, you know, there is actually a train chase. There's two trains chasing each other on the same track.
So you're going to be doing some interesting music for this.
this is actually based on a real incident during the U.S. Civil War. Yes, it's about a man and his train. And,
boy,
and
Buster Keaton, so cool. And you've done Buster Keaton shorts.
We did some Keaton shorts.
And it just follows that you're going to do a full length Buster Keaton.
It's funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, you look at the stunts and when you see Keaton, you know, straddling two train cars for a moving train, and he's the only thing holding them all together. That's what he was doing. I mean, you know, this isn't secret wires holding it together, and this isn't, you know, George Lucas wrecking havoc.
No, this is a real thing, you know,
to the film.
He's actually doing his own stunts.
He's doing his own stunts. We have train crashes. We have trains, you know, it's unbelievable.
I hear the cymbals crashing.
You see the stunts and you just think, oh my goodness. You know, that Keaton, he should have been dead about 18 times during this movie alone.
Nope, he's got nine lives.
And he's doing it all with a straight face, the whole time. So Sunrises is this Friday.
Yep.
Night of the Living Dead, Friday, February 1st.
Yep.
I think it's a Saturday.
Yeah.
And then the General, March 27th. And $15. Centerinthesquare.com. You can get them in advance. You can buy them at the door. It's $15. It's $10 if you show up with a food bank donation.
Yeah,
and this is for all three films. You know, clean out your cupboard, bring in anything, and you know, let's help the food bank.
It is that time of year, because I can tell you now that Waterloo Region is now feeding 28,000 people.
Yeah, and that's
there are a lot of people, and they're what is called the hardworking income. Working
yeah.
poor.
There's a lot of working poor
of
that
working
need
poor
help, and
they just can't. It's either you have a choice between food or rent.
Yeah,
basically,
and so
everything else you pay, but food has a tendency to suffer.
We want to help everybody out.
Yeah,
and then obviously it's also then like $5 IGO tickets for high school students.
Yeah, which is great for kids.
And
yeah.
and generally what we do, and I haven't run this by Lawrence, but we've been doing this before, previously, is that if you go to the Sunrise
mm-hmm.
film,
yeah.
you can buy tickets for the subsequent films at 2-for-1.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Show up for Sunrise.
Yeah.
You can get your tickets for Night of the Living
yeah.
Dead. Save yourself $10 or $15, which is, you know, not much, but still it can help out. And that way, you know, you can show up and know
these shows are, you know,
that you have your seat secure already.
Are one of a kind. You don't see performances like this, you just don't anymore. There's nobody that I don't think. Well, you know, Nash did it in his day, but he's retired now officially. So it's like you guys have sort of.
Well, there's a couple other.
You're
groups.
An incarnation. There are a few other
yeah.
groups, but not around this area. So
no, this is.
And I think you know. I think this is really cool. I'm so glad that you guys are back.
Yeah.
For the fifth
well,
season
thank you.
At the Registry.
Sixth.
That is great.
Sixth. This is
Holy
our sixth.
Holy mackerel.
It's been 7 years, but this is our sixth season. We did the first season, which I think was one film. And I think
yeah.
I think when we talked about it afterwards, we being the people in the audience, the people in the band, we knew everybody that was in the audience except for like two people who somehow must have wandered in by
yeah.
mistake or something. and the audience is growing and
it is because you know the last time I was there, I ran into two of my friends that I didn't even know were going, and I went, oh my god! So I'm going to email them and see if they're
yeah.
gonna
yeah. Go yeah.
This,
so
this
so yeah.
Writing.
No, we get a great response and we're happy to do this and of course God bless Lawrence Bacnot and the Registry Theater, because if it wasn't for a venue like that, you know, we'd be playing in our living room and you know for a lot fewer people.
Do you have a song that you want me to play?
Well, I think I'm going to head out. So
on your way out, I do this with guests.
Oh, okay.
As you're leaving the building, is there a song you would like to hear?
What do you have?
I don't know. We got YouTube here, so the choices are endless. Basically, almost. I think.
How about Frankenstein by Edgar Wright?
Edgar Winter?
No, Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright! I'm like, holy...
Edgar Winter.
I've never heard
of
Frankenstein by Edgar Winter. Oh, my God. By Edgar... I thought it was... Is there a new artistic interpretation of this rock cult classic that I don't know about?
This is Edgar Wright. Who is Edgar Wright? Why did I...
Well, you know, years ago he came to Kitchener with his brother Johnny, and they opened up...
the Blues Festival.
Yeah, well, they did that.
Well, Johnny was just here for the Blues Festival last year.
Johnny was here. Well, this is in the 19... This is how old I am. This is the 1970s. Late 70s. Yeah, it was late 70s. They were both here.
Okay. So that's almost... That's before my time.
Yeah, we went there with Edgar Winter, Johnny Winter, and James Gang, I believe.
And then there was
Rick Derringer, you know, because he's the evil guitar guy.
And then there's the third Winter brother, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe Winter?
Giuseppe Winter. The one that no one talks about.
I wonder why. Okay. Well,
okay.
Here you go, Ted.
You're going to walk me out to Frankenstein?
I'm going to walk you out to Frankenstein.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's always lots of fun. And thanks for all the music. That was so cool. Do you want CD back or can I keep it?
It doesn't matter. You can keep it if you want.
Okay.
It's a souvenir.
Oh, thanks.
You want me to sign it for you?
You can if you want to. All the best with Sunrise, a song of...
And hopefully we'll see everybody out on Friday.
On Friday at the Registry Theater. Here's Frankenstein.
Right.
Frankenstein. Edgar Group.
Ha 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 ha!
For the one and only Ted Harms, that was Frankenstein, the Edgar Winter Group from 1972. And whenever I think of that song, I think of my brother Phil, because he introduced me to Edgar Winter and Johnny Winter way back when. So Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans, is this Friday, October 4th at the Registry Theater. It is $15 at the door, $10 the food bank donation, or $5 to IGO. You can get advance tickets for $15 via centerinthesquare.com or call 519-578-1570. And you heard Ted, he's going to be doing Night of the Living Dead zombie classic Saturday, February 1st, and then Buster Keaton's The General following that. So this is a great season, the sixth season for the VOC Silent Film Harmonic. So if you haven't seen one of their shows, I suggest you go and check them out. They're great. It's a very unusual evening in it. A lovely way to discover silent films that you've never seen before or that you've seen. And VOC sort of gives them a different dimension. So if you're just tuning in, this is, hopefully you're not just tuning in. This is Coral FM,